source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Bill.
And we are very happy to be here.
It's that time again, boys and girls.
Sit down and get out your snacks.
Yeah.
I like snacks.
I like snacks too.
I need more snacks.
What kind of snacks do you like?
Any of the kinds that fall into my face that make me happy.
Yeah. Oh, so how was your weekend?
It was fine.
Just fine. You survived the end of the world again.
Was it the end of the world?
Well, what, 4-3-2-1, something spectacular was supposed to happen or not happen, and nothing happened.
Oh, was there something supposed to happen?
Well, so I've been told. Yeah, you had, April 4th of 21, so that's 4-3-2-1, and the countdown.
Oh. Apparently people can barely hear you, so I'm trying to figure out why, so just keep talking.
Well, my microphone's up against my face, so maybe I should put on a better radio voice for everyone.
I mean, I hear you just fine.
I know, I hear you just fine. Well, it's probably better off you don't hear me anyway. It might be my connection because I had that blip right before the show where everything just crashed out at the same time, so who knows. That's what happens when you have an Acer computer that's about 10 years old that's still running Windows 7. But anyway.
All right, well, do your days of the day or whatever.
My days of the day.
And yeah, talk really loud.
Happy, will you?
I am happy. I'm just trying to, while you're talking, I'm trying to figure out why it's not putting you through.
I'll put the microphone, like, really close to my face.
No, you just need to shout, I think.
Okay. Well, it is April 5th, and it is First Contact Day. I don't know what that means. Oh, I can hear myself. That's pretty cool. First Contact Day could be aliens or, a date or something like that. It is Gold Star Spouses Day. Have no idea what that means, unless your spouse earned a gold star today. National Caramel Day. We got a lot of them today. I like caramel. And National Deep Dish Pizza Day. So I like deep dish. We're going to flip over that one. Go for Broke Day. Our friends in Nebraska, guess what? It's your day. Thank you for listening in, if you are listening in. If you're not listening in, you should be listening in. I think I covered all that.
And Gold Star Day is honoring the surviving loved ones whose loved ones died in military service.
Which one?
Gold Star.
Gold Star. Oh, okay. I get it. I thought it was like, you did something good, here's your gold star.
No, it's like a real thing.
Okay, well... Yes, well, that is a big one then. So, for all those, yes. And the last one I'm just going to skip over is National Read a Roadmap Day, because I don't think they even make them anymore?
Roadmaps? Yeah, they make roadmaps.
Oh, okay. Well, you're supposed to read one today.
Okay. I still have one in the trunk of my car just in case, like, I'm in the middle of nowhere and my phone dies.
Well, that's
it's from like 2000, so it probably isn't accurate anymore. But when when I got my when I got my driver's license way back in like the long time ago, that was like a thing that you did. You got a atlas and you threw it in the trunk of your car, and then if you ever got stuck or whatever, you know.
Well, that's a good idea.
So my uncle got me a road safety kit with like flares and all that kind of stuff, and he got me an atlas, and it's been in my trunk ever since because I don't want to throw it away because it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now it's like vintage.
Yeah, maybe a collector's item someday. So.
Yeah.
Ceiling Cat said, first contact day, Earth met the Vulcans in Star Trek. And like, geez, I'm supposed to know that. But yeah, thank you for letting me know that because that was important.
Well, yeah.
I know. Live long and prosper and all that good stuff.
The Force
anyway,
be with you.
The what?
Let the Force be with you. Oh, wait.
That's wrong one. But,
may the Force be with your prosperity?
Live long and prosper.
I know that. I was making a funny. Why you gotta be...
Sorry.
Gosh.
You gotta give me a little lead in here, you know?
Okay, if my mouth is moving, I'm probably trying to make a joke.
Okay.
Because this is what we do with our radio show. We try to entertain people.
Oh. Anyway.
Except for Sherry, who always leaves before our show because she hates me.
Oh, that's not nice. Do not mock the Vulcans. Okay. All right, so what we got on tap for tonight on this happy Monday?
So we're going to talk about something super happy.
Okay.
Sirens.
Like ones on fire trucks?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
that's
cool.
Why they're called sirens. But are you... So if I were to say the word sirens to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not speaking the ones on fire trucks. Talking about, like, you know, the mythological monsters. How would you describe a siren? Pretending you didn't read the notes for tonight's show.
I didn't read the notes for tonight's show. I don't have to pretend. I would have no freaking clue. How about that?
Okay, so would you even know who sirens are?
No, I actually do not.
Okay. Well, then that killed my intro.
Okay, sorry. Let me make something up?
Yes.
Okay, I think sirens are screams of past loved ones. How's that?
Yeah, no. Okay,
no? Okay.
So... I can't even... Okay, so a siren is a mythological creature. If most people would describe a siren, they would tell you it's a beautiful woman who sits on an island and sings, and you know, passing sailors get drawn in by her beauty and her voice, and they crash and they die.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like some of the dates I had. Anyway.
That's why I thought you would like this topic.
Okay.
I thought you would read the notes. So let me give you a quote. We'll start with the quote from Leonardo da Vinci. Quote, "The siren sings so sweetly that she lulls the mariner to sleep. Then she climbs aboard the ship and kills the sleeping mariners." So that's sort of not really true. So that's what we want to talk about tonight, is kind of what are actual sirens and how in bleep do we end up with this description that doesn't have anything to do with, you know.
Okay, so sirens are like a real thing or
well,
a mythological
they're
thing?
They're a mythological thing, and they've kind of morphed over time from the original mythological thing to a new mythological thing.
Okay.
So if you were to describe my notes just disappeared. They're there. a siren to someone, they would probably say they are these beautiful maidens, like I said, on the shores, right, that were singing enchantresses capable of luring passing sailors to their island and subsequently to their doom. They are they are believed to be the daughters of the river god Achelous and a muse, but it's never really said which muse. And they are fated to die if anyone should survive their singing. Hearing a siren song proves dangerous since it bewitches the listener and makes them forget their human life. If the listener was steering a ship, for example, he might forget what he was doing, and then the ship wrecks on the rocks. However, there aren't that many stories that actually show the siren attacking a human. So, the original kind of myth behind them never really meant that the song was meant to kill them. Like, the original appearance of the sirens, they were just trying to lure people closer. So, they weren't necessarily trying to kill them.
Yeah, but some lady on the shore that can't sing made the sailors' ears bleed. They lost control and hit the bank.
No, these are beautiful singers, because they're daughters, they're daughters of muses. So, traditionally, like I said, they were the daughters of the river god and a muse. So, un- is undoubtedly one of the three muses. We're gonna butcher all the Greek names ahead of time, so just tell you. Terpsichore.
Full show.
Melpomene or Calliope. However, according to the great tragedy writer Euripides, the siren's mother was actually one of the Pleiades, Strope.
Wow.
So the sirens eventually were named specifically. So they were known as Theexope, which is charming voice, Agalope, which was splendid voice, or Parthenope, which was the maiden voice.
Parthenope.
Yeah, and those are the three that are actually named with highest frequencies. Highest frequency. There are other, it's Melope, which means song, Persinoe, which affecting the mind, Agalophonus, which means splendid sounding, Lygia, which means clear toned, Lycosia, which means white stuff. I don't know where that one came from. The rest of them all seem kind of fit. They all fit, and that one's white stuff. Thalexany, which means charming in the mind, and Thalexopia, which means charming of the ears. Legend says it that they should only live until someone hears their song and is unmoved. Then they would have to throw themselves into the sea, where they were metamorphosized into rocks.
So if they're singing and nobody cares, they throw themselves into the sea and they become a rock.
Correct.
Okay, I'm down with that. It sounds like me when I used to sing, like people didn't listen to me. So
you would throw yourself into the crowd, try and crowd surf and just land on the floor.
True. Yeah, that's happened. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, okay.
So the most famous one of us would be Odysseus and his crew. They passed by unaffected because of the advice of Circe. Where they stuffed their ears with wax, lashed themselves in the mast of the ship, and were able to pass by the sirens. So that's kind of the most famous one. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about the actual origin story. But where do they live?
Wait.
So, what?
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 I need to know. Okay. I need information.
I'm sharing.
That's my life. Information. Oh, it's inflammation. Same thing.
Inflammation, yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So in most cases, most poets agree they live on the sirens live on three small rocky islands called Serenum Scolopi by the Romans. It was said that their dwelling place was a ghastly sight to behold. A great heap of bones lay all around them with the flesh of victims rotting off of dead bodies. Their house, or their place where they lived, likewise, different from different traditions. Some place them on Cape Pelorum, others on the island of Athamusa, and others again in Cyrenusian island of Paestum, also on Capri. Homer says the island of the Sirens was situated between the Aegea and Scylla. Scylla. Stop it.
Stella!
Not Stella.
No.
Now, this near the southwest coast of Italy. Circe's description of them, quote, lolling there in the meadow, round them heaps of corpses rotting away, rags of skin shriveling on their bones.
Ooh.
End quote. So this description, which is one of the original descriptions of a siren, actually goes against the idea of sirens eating the sailors that they lure to their islands. There is a temple to the sirens near Sorrentum, and a tomb of Parthenope, or Parthenope, was believed to be near Neapolis.
Ooh.
So there actually, I mean, there actually supposedly is a tomb of one of the sirens and a temple to their, they're not really gods, so I don't really know what they were worshiping. To their sirenness? Okay.
The sirenness.
To their sirenness.
In Europolis.
Neapolis.
Neapolitan.
Yeah, no. They're not. Yeah, anyway. All right, so with all things mythological, there are varying theories on how the sirens came to be. So the most popular version is that they were the goddess Persephone's mortal handmaidens. They sang to her and accompanied her to pick flowers in the meadow. But then when Hades kidnapped Persephone, Demeter, depending on your pronunciation, gave the girls golden wings to help them search for her.
Mm.
Obviously, they couldn't find her because she was in the underworld, not above ground, so flying would not have helped.
Of course.
Demeter blamed the girls for not finding Persephone, so she exiles them to their island and curses them. They'd be stuck in bird form until someone could pass the island without stopping. With the lure of their song broken, they would die. So that's kind of where the, you know, if someone can pass by your singing, you will die, basically.
And that's a good song.
Yeah. Eventually, the goddess Hera decided to visit their island. She wanted to hear if their songs live up to the reputation that she'd heard. When she found that they did, she decided to set up a singing contest between the sirens and the muses. So it's not really a fair fight because the muses are the goddesses of music. So
Okay. That's
kind of like, you know, hey, little third grader, would you like to run against Usain Bolt? Like, that's kind of not cool.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
However, keep in mind, the sirens were the daughters of a muse, so technically they could have inherited some of that, and they do, supposedly they sang beautifully.
Wow.
So, naturally, the muses won the competition, because Hera never set herself up to lose, ever, in a competition, if you ever read mythology out. But they added insult to injury by stealing the sirens' feathers to make victory crowns. Mm. So the sirens returned to their island, humiliated and rejected. During his odyssey, Odysseus learns about the power of the sirens from Circe the sorceress. He gave beeswax to his sailors to plug up their ears. He wants to hear the siren song, however, and still survive. So he thought this was his opportunity since they were going to pass the island. The sailors tied him to the mast and then plugged up their own ears. So when the ship got in range of the sirens, they began to sing. They heaped praise on Odysseus, and he became possessed by an urge to meet them. They promised him knowledge. They promised him information. They promised him the future. All kinds
Typical.
Of things. Yeah, if you read through the Odyssey, when they start talking about some of this stuff, it's like they offer him pretty much anything you could possibly want. Come to me, I'll tell you the future. Come to me, I'll tell you, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Whatever you want to hear. But they never really say, come to me, I'm going to eat you. So I guess that's probably nice of them. At least they didn't.
Well, yeah.
So Odysseus becomes, like I said, possessed by this urge to meet him. His sailors couldn't hear his pleas to be released, however, because remember they had wax in their ears. So they safely sail past the island and the enchantment fades. Odysseus managed to hear the song and survive, but the sirens do not. Demeter's curse fulfilled, they throw themselves into the sea because somebody passed by their island without being lulled.
Okay.
And according to myth, Odysseus wasn't the only one who avoided the problem with the sirens. In the story about Jason and the Argonauts, they also had to sail past Sirens Island. Thankfully, they had the legendary musician and poet Orpheus with them. He started playing his lyre when they sang their song. His music drowned out theirs, and the Argonauts sailed safely past. The sirens only managed to bewitch a single Argonaut. He jumped overboard and swam to the island, but Aphrodite intervened and either plopped him in Lilybaeum, which is now Marsala, or took him as a lover, depending on which story you want to read.
Mm-hmm. Well, Reem wants to know if the sirens used the bodies of men to incubate their eggs.
Interesting theory. I don't know that was ever presented in any of the source material.
Why not?
I mean, it's possible. That's more of an insect thing though, not a bird thing. Like, right? Because birds lay nests or eggs in the nest and then they sit on them. They don't necessarily like
stick them in there and incubate them.
I guess. And to answer your question, Rain. Demeter was actually the mother of Persephone, who became the wife of Hades. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a fish thingy.
Thing. Okay. So let's talk about what a siren looks like. So this is where when I asked you in the beginning to describe what a siren looks like, this is where the big confusion comes in. Because if you ask somebody who's familiar with Greek mythology, like at a passing level, what does a siren look like? The majority of people are going to tell you it's a beautiful woman. Sometimes they'll say she has a fish body. Sometimes they won't. Very few of them will mention the wings, but they always say she's a beautiful woman.
Okay.
So in Homer's The Odyssey, there's nothing said about the siren's outward appearance, but one can infer from the text that he had in mind a human-like creature, if not beautiful maidens. However,
poets and artists started depicting the sirens in a similar fashion to how harpies are portrayed. That is, a creature with the body of a bird and the face of a woman. Overall, they were ugly creatures with claw-like talons sharp enough to rip a man apart. So quite a few stories at that point in time, around the same time as Homer's Odyssey, started mentioning sirens and tried to shed light on kind of what they actually look like.
Okay. This isn't Homer Simpson, right? We're talking about Homer.
Homer the poet, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just want to just make clear for our listeners.
I think you might have been the only one who thought Homer Simpson.
Well, especially in Nebraska, because it's Nebraska Day. So I just wanted to make clear, okay, I'm good.
Okay.
I didn't read it. I didn't read the book. But apparently Rain did, because, you know, lots of information coming from that side of the world.
Okay.
Male seahorses incubate their eggs. So, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to add, you know.
I was just waiting for you to be done there. I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
I'm not going anywhere, believe me.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
Nah, I lost my place.
There's nothing going on with Phyllis Diller. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. So anyway, if you want to see whatever Bill's babbling about, you can join us at PowerXRadioNetwork.com. Click on the chat and you can figure out what Bill's talking about.
I'm trying to figure out what Bill's talking about. I'm drinking Coca-Cola tonight. Well, I shouldn't have said that because it's whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, so originally these creatures were pretty much a full body of a bird with a woman's face on it, with some pretty ugly body parts, claw-like talons. However, when you get the story of Persephone, who had stated they were either servants or companions, you know, you kind of get like, well, how were they? How did they start out as handmaidens and then become these bird-like creatures? Well, according to some versions of the myth, Demeter actually turned the sirens into the bird-like monsters because they failed to help her daughter. However, the most common version of that is that she just gave them wings instead. So they could help search for Persephone.
Right.
However, other poets claim that they requested the wings from Aphrodite because they wished to remain virgins. I guess so they could fly away from menfolk. I'm not sure how that works. But
there is a lot of cross coverage going on.
Seriously,
it sounds like there's so many, like, borrowing wings from Aphrodite, you know, the different...
Well, so that's the problem with mythology, is that, you know, you know, you have a concept, okay, you've got the goddess Aphrodite, but you've got seven different poets writing about the goddess Aphrodite, so which ones do you consider the true stories, which ones
do you
kind of wrap as, like, okay. So basically, right, the way that scholars have kind of started putting this stuff together is, you know, here's the version that's most commonly found, and here's some other. It's like conspiracy theories, you know.
Yeah,
here's
the
versions
yeah.
that we know, and here's all the other versions that might happen.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I guess you can take the version that you want. Oops.
Most palatable.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Take the version you like. Go with it.
Okay, if you say so.
I do say so. I always say so.
Uh-huh.
All right, so either way, they got wings. Whether Demeter decided to actually curse them into bird-like creatures or they asked for the wings themselves, that's kind of up in the air. However, the images that show sirens as birds with human heads, so think like a sphinx, but a bird. So it's like a human face, a human head, not necessarily a human. So originally it was like a bird with a human face. Then it became
like a beautiful bird.
Then it became a bird. Flowing. Yeah. Then it became a bird with a human head. So slowly it's getting more and more human. Now these are very similar to what's called the Ba from ancient Egypt, which is a bird with a human head representing the human soul's more mobility, allowing the soul to leave the tomb. Around the time that these images started appearing is when kind of Greece and Egypt started blending some of their culture together. And at this point, poets actually started creating new stories to explain the difference in appearances of the sirens themselves.
Right.
So in the mythology, sirens sort of take on this more ba like creature, where they're more now a human head on a bird body.
Mm-hmm.
So Circe in Odysseus 12 describes the sirens, quote, "She has a voice as loud as a newborn puppy, but she herself is the evil monster. No one would enjoy the sight of her, not even if a god should encounter
her. Wow.
She has 12 feet all hanging in the air and 6 necks, very long one. Each one is a terrifying head with 3 rows of teeth crowded together, filled with dark teeth." Now that has nothing to do with any other description that's ever been found.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like a Medusa-type deal there.
Yeah, so again, this is where you kind of run into this problem with its mythology. So where do you get them?
Yeah.
Kind of. So then they start to evolve. So by the 5th century BCE, so before the Christian era, or you know, before Christ, depending on, you know.
Right.
Any mention of male sirens actually disappears. So originally, when sirens were around, there were male and female sirens. By the 5th century, they become all female.
Yeah, because they all ate the male.
I guess. By the 4th century, the siren became a woman from the waist up and a bird only from the waist down, but still had wings. So think like a bird maid instead of a mermaid.
I gotcha. Yeah.
By the 1st century, sirens were fully female, but with wings. So like an angel, I guess.
Or like angelic.
A fairy, yeah. So some experts believe that this reversion actually came from the Demeter myth, where they were handmaidens rather than where they were cursed to have wings. 7th century Anglo-Latin catalog Liber Monstrorum says that the sirens... What?
No, that's a good one.
It basically means the monster book. Yay, Latin. Says that the sirens were women from their head to their navel, and instead of legs, they had fishtails. So this is the first mention of a fishtail.
Right.
Right, so now we're 7th century AD.
AD.
Yeah. In the 10th century Byzantine encyclopedia Suda, it says that from their chest up, the sirens had the form of sparrows. Below, jeez, they were women. Or alternately, they could also be little birds with women's faces. So now we're back to bird-human-y mix, which is interesting how we kind of swapped. In 300 years, we swapped back, but now we're going to go back again.
Yeah, so we went to mermaids to now to birds again.
Yeah. Okay. So by the 1500s, European scholars, who at the time had Greek texts but not Greek imagery, because we're talking about the Middle Ages, would shape vague images based on incomplete descriptions from translation. It was also suggested that they began to merge the idea of a mermaid and a siren at this point, because we're doing a lot in the 1500s. We're starting to take to the seas, at least the Europeans are. So they're starting to see a lot more weird sea creatures. So now we're starting to merge the siren with the mermaid. With the let me say the modern idea of what we think of a mermaid. So,
Okay.
So by the 1800s, writers begin to merge in the idea of the water nymph along with the siren or the mermaid. So the water nymph is a woman who lives in the sea or in a waterway, who is only out to drown men, pull men to their death, all kinds of things. So we're starting to get a little more cruel, I guess. And so now, in
just
modern
like online dating, yeah.
In modern depictions, there are various water nymphs whose sole goal is to tempt men. They've been made physically attractive and purely intent on attracting men to their dooms. However, if you go back, the original myth, the prophetic songs and phenomenal voices were far more impressive than their physical beauty, because no one ever said the sirens were beautiful until we started blaming them for dead men. The sirens were all about death and the spirit, whereas more recent siren mermaid nymph kind of mixture is all about death of the human body.
Hmm.
So it's kind of taken a really weird
turn there.
Like,
yeah.
Hybrid migration of weird like mythology blending. I don't know. It just seems really odd.
Yeah.
All stuff smushing together. But we're going to take a real quick break because we're at the halfway point.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I needs to take a drink, and you needs to listen to some commercials. So hang tight. You're listening to Shadows Radio here on the PowerX Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Ending Wars with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Opening your mind to the possibility. We'll talk about all things metaphysical, paranormal, and everything in between. Illuminating the Paranormal, Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio here on the Para-X Radio Network. I'm still Rebecca.
I'm still Bill.
I kind of wish I had some siren music to play to lure you all in.
Uh-huh, and then kill me. Yeah.
Exactly. stab, death, stab.
Suck me in, and then just shove me to the rocks and kill me.
But
tear
the
my
other...
flesh.
Exactly. But the other thing is that... They might have just been poor, misunderstood little people. Like, they might have just been bored. Like, here, let me call you so you come talk to me because I'm bored. I'm stuck on a rock. Like,
No. Evil mermaid bird women on the shore sucking pirates in and killing them and eating their flesh.
So, that's actually
my story.
And that's where you're going with?
That's what I'm sticking with.
30 minutes of conversation.
That's right.
So why do the sirens sing?
Because they're happy to lure people in.
Yeah, so some people believe the song was an avenge for wrongs done to them. So given that they were cursed by Hera and and Demeter, you know, they kind of have a point. I can see that.
Yeah, and music can be very, forget it. I can't even think of the word I'm trying to think of. So, yeah. Anyway. Hypnotic. Thank you.
Hypnotic.
Yeah, my cat just told me. So, music can put you in a trance and,
Hold on. Your cat just told you?
Well, I'm the only one here except for my cat, so.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's the voices in my head, so, that would be just weird. So, I just said my cat did it.
So, the talking cat is better choice. All right.
Yeah.
Noted. So the other competing theory is just what I just said, that the sirens were lonely and they just wanted human company, so they sang to invite sailors to join them. And by invite, I mean compel. It's possible that the men died of starvation, not being killed by sirens, just kind of because they were on a rocky island with no vegetation, no nothing. Like, they just died from starving, basically.
Not buying it.
Much like the stories of mermaids who drown sailors by accident, the sirens don't think about the needs of the sailor who they call to their island. They just think about their own need at the time, where they need to talk to somebody. Another theory is that they sang the songs out of grief for their fate. They were at one point handmaidens to a goddess, and now they are these reviled creatures on a, you know, kind of remote rocky outcropping in the middle of the ocean.
No, so,
I mean, that could cause
fault you... that
Demeter.
Yeah,
it's not their fault. They even told Odysseus that they knew all of the sadness in the world and that they knew everything that was going to happen. The only way to handle this kind of level of pain would be to share it with others.
Oh, so they're so miserable that they have to make everybody else miserable.
Exactly.
Man, that sounds familiar. Jeez.
Well, now you know where...
they come from, yeah.
Calling somebody a siren or, you know, oh, she was such a siren. She was gorgeous to look at, but dang, she was ugly underneath. Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't know. I think every woman is beautiful.
Aw.
There you go.
That was so not true.
That's a good one for the night. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So author Pietro Pucci points out that the sirens ask Odysseus to stop, quote, so that he may enjoy their song and return wiser, that for they know the god-sent toils the Argives and the Trojans have suffered in war, and they know each time whatever has happened in the world. So this is kind of where the theory comes from, that they're not trying to have them crash on the rocks. They're basically trying to be almost like fortune tellers or soothsayers. Like, we know what you've already done. We know what's happened, and we know what's going to happen. So come talk to us. However, I guess in order to earn that, you have to survive getting to the rocks or through the rocks to the beach and then back to your ship.
Well, what happened to the flesh eating and all that stuff?
Well, there's never any flesh eating. That's what I'm saying.
I thought there was flesh eating and stuff.
No, like, there was flesh rotting from people who died on the island.
Okay, yeah.
But
okay, they ripped them apart.
Yeah, there's never any story that actually says that the sirens have killed anyone.
Oh, okay.
And there's never any story that says that they ate anyone. The fact that their bodies are actually rotting on the shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
And that they left all of the bodies like on the island and they're not eating them, like, and picking the bones clean, and it's not just an island of bones, is a kind of a good indication that they were not carnivores. They're not eating people.
No, like, so, vegetarian.
Yes, they're vegetarian monsters.
Vegetarian monsters, gotcha. That just wanted company for lunch.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the idea that they were actually, like, fortune tellers, you know, like that. Okay. That's kind of where my brain lands. Like, maybe they just, it was like a challenge. You had to actually survive the song, survive the rocks, and if you got there, they'd tell you, you know, a fortune cookie, and then you could go, but you had to make it back to your ship. I mean, every good quest has to have a good, like, you know,
I guess you're correct on that. You know, that's making more sense. If you survive my song and the trip to and fro, you will get a good fortune from us.
I like that you rhymed that.
Or we'll eat you.
Or we'll eat you.
Or we'll eat you.
Even if there's no sign, or, you know.
And let your flesh rot on the rocks.
Even though there's no proof we actually eat people, yeah.
Well, you know, we need to add that to some mythology.
All right, we'll add that on there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the other thing we talked about, how it kind of got blended with mermaids. Right. And so I kind of did a little bit of research on kind of why they would have gotten confused. So mermaids have been in myth and folklore since their first appearance in ancient Babylon. Era, the fish god, was half man, half fish, and after that it was the Greek god Triton who took on kind of the king of mermaids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the Greeks who gave us the first description of a mermaid. Living specimens were said to have been examined by writers such as Pausanias in the 2nd century, and they were described as having scales covering their entire body, gills, a fish-like mouth, and a scaly tail like a dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like Ariel to me.
No.
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 It was the Nereids of Greek mythology who gave rise to the tale of the mermaid that was so popular among later sailor mythology. Sea nymphs, as they kind of crossbred with, were given the feature traditionally associated with what we know of a mermaid today, half-beautiful woman, half-fish. These enchanting creatures were well known to mingle with humans and to bear their children.
Mm.
The Greek hero Achilles was born of a mermaid, and some Greek families claim mermaid blood in their lineage. Nereids were found anywhere there was water, including springs and wells. While mermaids have always been enchanting, it's more been their appearance than their singing voice. So then you've got kind of where the sirens and the mermaids have been confused for a long time, because the mermaids were the pretty ones that lured you to your death and drowned you, whereas the sirens were not so pretty, but they sang really beautifully. However, modern authors Piers Anthony, C.S. Lewis, kind of blended those two together and put into the mainstream the idea that a mermaid and a siren both are beautiful women that sing and lure men to their, you know,
graves.
Death, yeah.
Yeah, Thomas, and I just see a story about how if there were actually mermaids, what they would really look like, you know, because of what they would need to survive in the water and stuff and how their skin would be. And they're more like a sea cow with a human face. So,
Aw, poor manatees. They're so
Yep.
So sirens and mermaids, like I said, Thomas Haklev wrote La Male Regle in the 15th century, clearly referring to mermaids luring sailors to their death. And he's the first one that kind of put out there that mermaids used song to lure sailors to their death. Strangely, this was the melding of the two creatures that's persisted. According to sailors' logs and records dating back to the 1600s, mermaids, however, are very, very real, while sirens are supposedly myth.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, I think it's fascinating the way that these two kind of mythologies have blended together, where, you know, they kind of took bits and pieces of each one, and as the story got longer and longer and older, you know, all of a sudden, first we added, okay, well, first they were just birds with that sang really pretty. Then they became birds with human heads. Then they became half bird, half people. Then they, you know, somehow got a fish tail for a little while. Then the fish tail went away. But either way, they were luring people to their death. And then...
Right.
But there's no actual proof of anybody killing anyone. You know what I mean? Like, not proof, but, you know, stories.
Right.
I don't know. I'm fascinated by the way that these things evolve and they tumble and they grow. And by the end of it, you're like, the story that you're being told about a siren and how most people would picture a siren doesn't actually hold up with what the truth of a siren actually was.
You know, it's kind of a shame that we don't have that anymore. You know, we're, you know, we can Google click, take a picture from a satellite, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's no more of that in our culture. Maybe in, you know, South America or villages that are, you know, don't have internet, have never evolved throughout, you know, the new processes. But we don't have that worldwide mythology that we used to live by. You know, these cultures lived by their gods, by Zeus and Apollo, and by things like this, and mermaids, and, you know, there's no more imagination like that, I guess. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, there still is people who live by mythologies and by story. You know, there's a lot of oral history that gets passed down in certain, you know, traditions and cultures. But yeah, you're right. It's not one universal, like, god of the sea, god of the air. It's everyone's kind of got their science-based stories now.
Right. So I guess that'd be cool in a way back then. So I don't know.
You want to go back to a time when sirens lured men to their death?
Absolutely not.
Nope. What?
Online dating was bad enough. Yep.
So, if you were to look back at kind of what we just talked about, like the whole, you know, concept of a siren and everything, what do you think the purpose of the siren song was?
I wouldn't even know. I mean, really, it was more of a sailor's beware thing. I mean, that's what it seems to be. It's like you go past these islands and they make you aware that death is looming, but that's about it. You know, I mean, what would the purpose be? You have three small rocky islands that these things sing to you, and, you know, you got to plug up your ears or, you know, you'll be, you know, consumed by their song.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Otherwise, just cover your ears and go forward. Get away from the islands before you crash and rot on the shore and get eaten.
That was very deep. That was super me. Deep.
That's me, Mr. Deep.
I don't even know where to go with that one.
Okay. Well, what do you think of the whole ordeal?
I don't know. I still, like I said, I still hold the whole, you know, that I think they were more, I don't know. I feel like we got kind of got robbed about what a siren actually was supposed to be. So, like, if they got put on an island because mm-hmm. they were being punished by
right.
Demeter, and then they, you know, were turned into birds, and then, you know, we've got Hera coming to challenge them with music, you know, so now they're stuck on this island. I could see where they're literally just singing because they're bored, because they are the daughters of muses, you know, so they probably have a really nice singing voice. But nowhere
to do.
But nowhere in there is there really a true, you know, kind of evil intention. You know, you would think that if these things were truly out and evil, as they supposedly were,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
there would be stories out there about, oh yeah, they all these sailors are crushed into the rocks and all these, you know, dead bodies and blah blah blah. But we don't really get that. You get a little bit of description about bones on an island. But, I mean, yeah. that could have been the, you know.
But if you make it to them and make it back, it's like you're being consumed by their song.
Yeah.
And they're luring you. So it's almost like you're being lured either way. It's like you're going to die if you try to get there or get back.
Yeah,
but maybe you'll get lucky.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. That I mean, no one, according to any of these stories, actually survived the trip to the island and back.
Right, so do they know that? Like, hey, let's see if this guy can do it. Where's your bets? You know, put your bets down now. So, I don't know. They could have been evil or I don't know.
Yeah, but if they started out as handmaidens and they're there as a curse, like, where's the motivation to mash people on the rocks? Like,
they're pissed off. They want redemption. They want.
I don't know if you can get redemption by killing people. You might get get retribution, but you definitely aren't getting redemption.
Like screwed. Let me get some. You know, I don't know. Whatever.
That would be retribution, not redemption.
Okay, wrong choice of words.
Aw, I'm surprised Kat didn't jump all over you for that one. She's being very quiet, behaving as I butchered every single Greek word in the alphabet tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they just still can't hear you.
What's a good thing? Oh, that maybe. Yeah, that's probably the better part of it. Yeah.
So,
good show tonight. Sorry Bill couldn't make it.
Fantastic information. He had all these insightful comments to make and nobody could hear him.
Yep, great.
It's amazing. So, anyway.
Anywho.
Any final thoughts on sirens? Anyone that you know that could be a siren?
I'll keep my mouth shut on that one, dear. No. Nope. I do not have any thoughts on that whatsoever. That's it. I will keep my mouth shut.
I plead in the fifth and the sixth and the seventh.
Yep. I am done.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you can see, though, how the concept of, you know, people call people sirens nowadays. Oh, you know, she was a siren.
I never understood that.
Well, now do you understand where it came from?
You have learned me today.
I schooled you.
You schooled me and I learned it.
All right.
So interesting.
Fascinating.
I won't go that far. Interesting. Hey. Yeah. Fascinating.
On that note, we're out of time. We're going to hand off the microphones to the next thing that's happening.
Whatever thing that is.
It's encore shows until Spirited Bayou comes on later tonight.
Sweet.
But Eric B is upstairs not feeling it tonight, so there will be no Through Blue Topaz or Dark Sun Rising, unfortunately. So hang tight for some great repeats and some great encores of other great shows, and we will see you all in the shadows. As always, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Bill.
And we'll see you in the shadows.